Let's get started. Substituting for the Rav. We're in Siman Lamed Tes, and we're up to Sif Ches. It's on page 136, in the back of page Samach Ches. So the issue that we've been discussing is who's kosher to write, to fill in mezuzahs and Sefer Torah. And now we're going to discuss who it's fit to buy the Sfarim from. Who we should buy from. So let's see. Ein nikochen ela min hamumche. We should only buy tefillin from somebody who is a mumche, a professional. What does that mean? Shabaki b'chaseiris v'seiris. That the person who is writing is a baki, is an expert in the missing letters and the words written out in their full spelling. Like b'chor sometimes is written beis chaf reish, and sometimes it's written beish chaf vav reish. So the sefer has to be baki in this, otherwise they're possible. And we can only buy from such a person that is an expert, is knowledgeable in this area, says the Mishnah Berurah. Avalei mimi she'enai mumche, somebody who's not a mumche is not fit for writing them. We should buy from them. Avalpi she'lekeach. Now let's say the person who is planning on wearing them, he's planning himself on checking them. He'll buy the tefillin. He'll cut open the tefiris and check the tefillin. So what's the problem? What are we worried about already? So since he's going to check it anyway, then lechora there's nothing to be concerned about. But there's a concern that he's going to be too lazy to check them. Why should we think such a thing? Because the whole process of opening up the tefillin to cut the tefira and then to check them and then to put them back and sew them up again, it's a tircha. And we're afraid that after he bought the tefillin, he's just going to say, "Now they're probably kosher, and I don't need to check them," and he's going to assume that they're kosher. So we're working over here with the nature of a person and his laziness, and there's a possibility that his laziness is going to override his Yirah Shemayim and Mimela. So even though the person he brought the Bazit songs from, he knows wasn't reliable, but when it comes down to it, they have to open up the tefillin and check them as a pain. So we're afraid that he's going to get lazy and not do that. It's a pain for him to have to remove the stitches and then to sew it up again. So now we said that you have to buy from somebody who is a professional. So now what does it mean professional? We defined it as a person who is knowledgeable in the spelling, the correct spelling of the words in the tefillin. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's pashut. The mishu sefer kavul rabin, a person who is a sefer who is kavul rabin, means that that's his job, is to be a sefer, and he's known to the rabin as a sefer. Then who bechal mumcha? We can assume that he is a mumcha and that he's acceptable for writing tefillin and mezuzah. A mezuzah. Oh, this is interesting halacha. Now, the whole concern over here we saw was that perhaps he's going to be lazy about opening up the tefillin and filling them up again. But if let's say that he has mezuzah, which doesn't come in tefillin, you don't have to open it up. It's just a parchment. Or let's say that just the parchments of the tefillin by themselves. So then, it's no problem. He can buy it from a person who is not a mumcha, so to speak. We don't know that he's bucky in the chaseris and yiseris, because now the person can just check it himself. And we're not concerned about his laziness over here, because there's no problem of opening up the bottom and filling them up again. So therefore, we'll allow him to buy the parshas as is. Mezuzah would in parshiyos shel tefillin, nikoches afilu shalai min amumcha, even if the person who wrote them is not a mumcha, v'snai shev dekenna achakach, as long as he'll check them himself, to make sure that no letters were left out or no extra letters were put in. Next halacha, sif test. What happens if a person bought tefillin from somebody who's not a mumcha? Means that he's not known to be a baki in chaseres and yiseres. So now, and he has, let's say, 100 pairs of tefillin. So So does he have to check every one of the pairs of tefillin? So halacha is that it's enough to check three of them, meaning either he'll check two shal reish and one shal yad, or he'll check two shal yad and one shal reish. He has to check three, and he has to check one of each type, reish or shal yad, so that he can do the combination either which way, two of one and one of the other, and that's enough. And that's all assuming that it's from the same cipher. But if there's an indication, we'll see if there's different groups of tefillin, and there's a possibility they come from different seferim, so then each set, each group of tefillin has to be checked separately, which means, again, three tefillin, either two shal yad and two shal reish, and that'll be enough. Let's see that inside the Shulchan Aruch now. Siftas, v'kach mimi she'ina mumcha, if he bought from somebody that's not known to be a mumche in these chaseris and seris, and then he has to be baidik them. Wakach mimenu mea katzitzais. If he took 100 batim, so baidik mehem shloish katzitzais. It's enough to just check three of them. Shtayim shal roish, v'acha shal yad, either two of the head, and one of the arm, oy shtayim shal yad, v'acha shal roish, or two of the arm and one of the head. In other words, we need three and we need one of each. So there's two ways to get that combination. In Matzan Kasherim, if we found those three that are kasher, Huchzak Zayish, then we have a chazaka, that the person who wrote it is actually a mumcha, and they do know the chaseris and yaseris. So then, Vahari Kulon Kasherim, the rest of them, we could assume are kasher, Vayna Sharetzarek Bidika, you don't need to check the rest of them. Vim lekachan tzavasim tzavasim, if he took them in sets and in groups. So I guess that since they were in different groups, we can't assume that they're all from one sefer. We'll see in the Mishnah Berurah. And mimela, we'll have to check each group separately. So again, the same process of three tefillin, either two of the head and one of the yad, or two of the yad and one of the head. And that will help for that group. Since they're in different sets, he'll have to assume that they are from different people. That's clear? Okay, that should be clear. And then one last halacha is that if he knows, if the person is selling it, and this is probably most relevant for us today, if the person who's selling it, he tells us that he got it from an Adam Gadol, then we can assume already that it was done properly. And the Mishnah is going to say, if he tells us that he got it from a Mumcha, we can also trust him and assume that it's from a Mumcha. So that's a halacha. Anytime that he's going to be going to a store and buying from a Meicher who's just reselling tefillin and mezuzahs, so we're going on his trust, the person he brought it from, is kasher. Even a lot of times you go to a cipher and a cipher is selling somebody else's mezuzahs or somebody else's tefillin. You're asking if he has to name the person or if it's enough just to say Stam Adam Gadol. From the lesson of the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah Mashmi, he just says Stam. Because we're trusting him. We're trusting his, I guess, his evaluation of the person, and we're trusting his kasher's as well. And we'll see that in the Mishnah Berurah that the person who's selling it has to at least be a kashrayid. In other words, you know him, that he's trustworthy, and he's telling you that they're kasher tefillin because he got them from a mumcha, so mimele eid echad neman b'yitzurim, and you can rely on that. That's enough to trust and to buy the kasher tefillin. Yeah, you're asking if you go into a Judaica shop and they're selling mezuzahs. Yeah, 100%. And you know the storekeeper is an Eilech Yid, and you know and he tells you that he buys it from a good seferim. So then you can assume that it's kosher. That's correct. That's what we're learning over here in the Shulchan Aruch. So we have here basically three halachas. The first one is that if he buys it from a person who's not mumcha b'diavad, l'chatchila, we said in Sef Ches, he shouldn't do it. But if he did do it, then he needs to be boidik them. And then we learned the second thing is the whole process of being boidik them if there's more than one, if you have a whole lot of tefillin, then we have a halacha of a chazaka. And then there's if it's from one writer or more writers, so for each number of writers that he has to establish this chazaka by checking three tefillin. Then the last halacha was that if a person tells us that he got it from a mumcha or he got it from Adam Gadol, the cases of the Shulchan Aruch, then we can trust him and buy those tefillin and mezuzahs. Let's see that now, the Mishnah Berurah, what he has to say about this. The first point was that if he buys it from a person that's not a mumcha, he needs to be baidik it. Now, the Mishnah Berurah is going to clue us in, like we just mentioned, that you're not supposed to do this, so why should we have such a case of buying from a person that's not a mumcha if you're not supposed to do it? So the case is, says the Mishnah Berurah, b'diavad. If he did it, he didn't listen to the Shulchan Aruch and Sifchas. Now we have to know what to do after he already bought it, so the halacha is he should check it. Or there could be another case that with chatchila he would be permitted to buy from somebody who's not a mumcha if there's no other choice. Or she'en sham mumcha b'yir. There isn't a cipher that's available with a mumcha, so then he'll buy from this person who's not a mumcha, and then he'll check it over. Sifchan chaf aleph, the vodkan, we said that he has to be baidik. B'chaseiros v'yiseiros. The first point we mentioned was this issue of the missing letters or the extra letters that has to be checked. And then, while we're at it, the truth is that there's another thing that we're baidik when we're baidik tefillin, namely the tzuras ha'isias, like we learned in the Mishnah Sefer, that you have to be baidik. Every ois has the right way it's supposed to look. So when the cipher looks at it, he also has to check this over to make sure that the aleph is connected to the yud is connected to the middle piece, or if the each yud has the kites of the yud, or whatever it may be, all the different surahs that we learned about, that has to be checked to make sure that it was done properly. So that's also part of the bedika process. Says the Mishnah Berurah, so we said the chaseiros v'yiseiros, would then betumunas ha'isiyais, the picture of the ha'isiyais, imeim ka'alacha, if they were done properly, we can all betimun lamed vav, sif aleph, like it says in simun lamed vav, sif aleph, yeah, vein lacho shema ibudan shalo lishman, but one thing we don't have to worry about, says the Mishnah Berurah, is if the ibud was done lishman, that called bekiyin bezev, everybody who's involved in the tefillin and the mezuzahs realizes that you need ibud, Shema, so that we don't have to be worried about. So he says just this point is, it seems, a person could be involved in Safras and not get, I guess, the minute details of Chaseiros and Yeseiros, or to get the Tzuras HaOisias, that does need to be checked. I mean, I know a cipher that he has Maithim where people had their tefillin checked after, even many times they were checked, and still he caught mistakes of Tzuras HaOisias, or Chaseiros and Yeseiros. It's something that you have to have an eye for to be able to be baidik. So, Agav Misama was mentioned this year before, but Rav Vozner, he writes in a tshuva that a person who buys tefillin, he should have them checked out, even if the person who writes the tefillin checks them over as he writes them, and he's supposed to. The chiyuv is, so far, has to check it before he gets to shame. He has to check all the things he wrote until then, and after he finishes each parsha, he's supposed to read through the whole parsha again, and then again, after he finishes, there's a process of checking. But Rav Ozner says that the tefillin anyway should be checked by a different person, aside from the one who wrote it, and also a computer check. He holds that that's kedai to do. That's we're going to get. You're asking about how often they should be checked once they're first purchased, but we're going to get to that as sifyut. So let's just wait off on that question. Fine. So we said the chaseiros and yiseiros, and then the tumunos ha'isiyos. Let's go further. So now we're talking about the chazaka of when he gets a whole group of a whole shipment of tefillin, and he doesn't know if a person who wrote them is a baki, a mumcha, or not. So we have a way of checking part of the shipment to know about the rest of it, and it's enough to check three altogether, one of each one, and then two of the other. So let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Now we're up to Sifkat and Chaf Gimel. No. Sifkat and Chaf Beis. So says Ve'in Ashar. That once he checks three, and we see that they're kasher, the person who wrote them was careful about chaseiros and yiseiros, then we can assume the rest are kasher. Ve'in Ashar, the rest of them don't need bedika. Now this is only on the assumption that he's saying that he himself wrote it, the person who sold it to him, told him he wrote it, so we know that it was written by one person. Or he tells us that he bought it from one person. In other words, the reason why it's good enough to check three tefillin, and that's going to help for the whole set, all these tefillin, is because we know they're written by one person. Either the person he bought it from tells us that he wrote them all himself, or at least he tells us that he bought it from one person. So then, since we could assume that it's done by one person and three of them were found to be kosher, then presumably he did them all the same, and we don't need to check the rest. But Talinin, we could assume she'aisa ha'adam k'savan hakol v'atzmoi kevin jayim b'tzeves echad. Since they're all in one group, we'll assume that same person did all of them, k'mo she'kasav ha'prisha. Like the Prisha, one of the Mefarshim in the Torah explains that that's the pshat over here, is that since we have one person who either wrote it or the person who's selling it said he got it from one person, then we could assume that three of them are an indication on the rest. In other words, it's all coming from one source. So then three are an indication on the rest are kosher. The last halakha we had over here is that if the seller tells us that he got it from an Adam Gadol, so then we could assume it's kosher. Which the point over here is that even though we don't know if that person is a mumche, but since he's an Adam Gadol, so then that itself is an indication that he did it in the right way. Says the Mishnah Berurah, now Adam Gadol was lav davka, even if he tells us that he is a mumche. I got this from a person, let's say from a mumche, I know for a fact that he's a mumche. That's also equivalent, it's tantamount to saying that he's like the Adam Gadol, the case of the Shulchan Aruch. Niradu adin im amar shal lakon mimumche, he tells us that he got it from a mumche, a professional, then that's also good. He's Naaman, we believe the person who tells us. The Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurim. That's a rule in the Torah, is that an Eid Echad, one person is Neman, and Yisurim, you can tell us if this is a kosher meat. I don't see the package, and he tells me this is kosher meat, so I can assume he's an Erlich Yid, and he knows. So Mimela, I could assume that it's kosher. That's the concept of Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurim. So the same thing over here. I can assume these are kosher tefillin, because he's telling me that he got it from Adam Gadol, and that's enough. Or he got it from a mumcha. Because of Magen Avram, the Magen Avram said that al kopanim binin shemakirin oisai shu mukhzeh v'kashas. That the person who we're speaking to, we have to know he's kasher. In other words, this whole concept of eid echad neman b'yisurim is only applicable if the eid echad is a worthy witness. He has to be somebody who is a kasher. Ein Yerideya, Simen Kuf, Yotas, Tif, Beis, Baga, look in Yerideya about these halachas. Alafiyah, Mevoyer, Sham, Mukach, Deim, Renu, Shulvashan, Ba'atmoy. Interesting case. Let's say that this person who's in front of us, he himself wore the tefillin. So that's the strongest indication of their kasher, because he's wearing them. So then, Neman b'chol gavne, then he's certainly Neman to say that he got it from an Adam Gadol, he got it from a mumcha. The lavor ba'atzmai b'vada ein chashad. He's for sure not chashad to be over on I guess, the bracha v'talo, or to be putting on tefillin that are puzzled. Ba'ein shah m'shach, sif cut and olive. Okay, so he gave his research to talk about these ideas. But l'kopanim, there's such a concept of eid echad Neman b'surim, and over here, we can trust the moicher if we know that he's an Erlich Yid. We can trust him if he tells us that he has a good cipher, a kosher cipher. Chaf hey, one last halacha, that then they don't need bedika. Shechazaka al chaver. Now, what's the special thing about Adam Gadol? So there's a klal. We have a chazaka al chaver. A chaver here means a talmud chacham. She'enu mitzi mitachas yadai davar she'enu mesukin. That a Talmud Chacham doesn't let things go out of his hands that weren't taken care of, that weren't fixed up properly. In other words, he takes responsibility for his actions, and he's going to make sure that somebody's not going to rely on him if he didn't do it properly. So therefore, what he does is he'll take care of the tefillin, make sure that they're kosher before other people are going to buy them from him, take them from him. So mimela, we could assume that they were kosher since they came from this Adam Gadol. Now, you asked me before about how often the tefillin need to be checked. So that's the next halacha here in the Shulchan Aruch Sef Yud. Tefillin she'uchzuku b'chashrus, tefillin they have a chazaka of kashrus, einem tzrichim b'dikul oilam. They never need to be checked. Ve'im einem menichan ela lefrakim, and if he only wears them occasionally, means that he doesn't wear them all the time. Maybe he has two pairs of tefillin, he has an extra one, he got a Yerusha or something, he wears it on special occasions. I don't know, or maybe faceless, he has a certain, he has tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, he wants to wear them in his Ezim Yeshuva. I don't know, whatever it could be, the prakim. Okay, we don't make a brak on the Rabbeinu Tam anyway. But Al Kopanim, he has, for some reason, a pair of tefillin that he wears occasionally. So such tefillin, since he's not wearing them every single day, they don't have the same koyach of chazaka as a pair of tefillin he wears every day. So those need to be checked more often. Tzrichim, bedika, pamayim, b'shavua, they need to be checked 2 times in a shemitah. Two times in 7 years, like a mezuzah. Yeah, so you have here two halakas. There's two types of tefillin. A tefillin that he wears every day, never need to be checked. Once he knows they're kosher, you can assume they're still kosher. And then there's a tefillin that he wears leprakim occasionally, and those should be checked twice every 7 years. Fine. Agav, the Mati Ephraim brings down in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, this could be, people know this, that Anshei Maise will check their tefillin and mezuzahs every Elul. Now the reason he says this is an interesting halacha. It's not a din in tefillin and mezuzahs. It's a din in Bedika. Elul is a zman to be nisayir and tshuva and to have introspection and to think about our lives and what we're doing and how we spend our time. So it's a time for checking things. And since we're in the mode of checking, so there's an Indian to check your mitzvahs also. Check your tzitzis. Really supposed to check your tzitzis every day. But at least in Elul, check your tzitzis, make sure they're kosher, check your mezuzahs, check your tefillin. Whatever Indian needs checking, there's an Indian to check it out. That's the idea of the Mati Ephraim, which is really not a halakha of tefillin. It's a halakha of Elul. But Al Kapanim, the halakha, technically, what needs to be done is once they're kosher, we can assume they remain kosher. We'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, there could be cases of reyus if something happened to them. But if nothing happened to them, they could be assumed to be kosher, unless they're only used occasionally, in which case they need to be checked twice every 7 years. Let's just finish off the Haggah, and then we'll see the Mishnah Berurah. Haggah, v'im ein loy mish yucha livdaik, blackzer l'tafrim. Let's say that he has tefillin that he wears occasionally, and he doesn't have somebody to check them out. So what does he do? So he can put them on without a bracha. Yinichim kach b'lay b'dika. I made a mistake. Yinichim kach b'lay b'dika. He puts them on without checking them. And then the Mishbura has a question here about the bracha. Pashat, he seems to be inclined to say you could make a bracha, but since there's a chiv b'dika, it's not so pashat. We'll see. Let's see the Mishbura. Sivkai and Chavzav. They never need to be checked. Shekol zaman, shekipuyin shalom. As long as the outside is still whole and there's no, you know, there's no problems with the batim, with the surrounding leather, so there's really no reason to think something happened to the parshas inside. Yeah. We could assume that they're good. Vein cheshes in shema nimchaka ois mitaychan ay nikva. We don't have to assume that a letter got erased. We don't have to assume that a letter got a hole in it. Fine. So that's halacha. Period. Minadin. They don't need to be checked whatsoever. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Now, mikol makom nachon levadkan. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, it is proper to check them. Now, why? What's the problem? We just said that they don't need to be checked. The batim are fine. We don't have to think that they got a hole in them. They got erased. What's the problem? Mipneishim is calculant mipnei hazeah, because they get the sweat can ruin the tefillin. So I just want to point out the Piskei Tshuvas I mentioned last night. He's a contemporary writer. So he brings down from the Poskim that this was said about the tefillin of the time was from Magen Avraham. And this is speaking about the tefillin of the time that they used dakos. They used very thin leather. And so therefore it was possible that this the amount of sweat that a person sweats in the tefillin, which is really not so much, but it's enough, the perspiration is enough that it could the moisture could get into the tefillin and affect the parshiot. But our tefillin, which have very, very thick hides, they're gasais, and the perspiration does not get into the batim, and that concern of the Mishnah Berurah is not applicable to us. That's what he said. However, the Aruch HaShulchan says that there's another concern. Origin is Lash, and he says, Vida, you should know, the Zeo Midina, that this halalacha that you'd never need to check the tefillin is Minadin, Abu Bizmanenu, but in our times, in the time of the Aruch HaShulchan, which he lived about 100 years ago, Yadua, it's a W Yadua, Shad Yoy Shalanu, B'meshach Eze Shonim, Nikpatsim Me'alakwaf, that our Dioi, after several years, jumps off the cloth. So he says that Midina, it needs to be checked every once in a while, the Kain Yeshlenhag, and that's the right thing to do. So the Aruch HaShulchan, I don't know, we have to talk to Seferim, I didn't get a chance to do that. I don't know if this is true about our Dio. I don't know if it changed so much in the last 100 years, the way that they use the Dio then or now. But al-Kapan, the concerns of Mishnah Berurah, they say, doesn't apply today because the sweat doesn't get into our tefillin gas. So this issue of the deal, I don't know if it applies or not. I can't tell you. Grad recently had tefillin checked that they hadn't been looked at for 15 years, and they looked beautiful, pristine. The ink looked exactly like it did 15 years ago. So oh, very good. So the Rav said not to check them, but okay. This could be such a thing. I don't know with this Aruch HaShulchan. I don't know. Interestingly, the Dirsha brings down from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that he holds that our tefillin are good today. He was more recent, so I'm sure he saw this Aruch HaShulchan. He says today that there's no concerns with the tefillin; they're written well, and they don't get affected by the sweat or by the ink is not a problem. And he claims that if there's no reason, we'll see in a minute if there are reasons to check them. If a person dropped it in water, or if he left it, I don't know. This is carelessness, but I see in yeshiva sometimes people put their tefillin on the heater. I guess it's the radio. Okay. Or if a person leaves it in the trunk of the car on a hot day, yeah, they can get very hot. They can crack. That's why mezuzahs on with southern exposure, they get the heat of the sun pounding on them. They can get the ink melt. Okay. The white cases reflect, that's right, that's a chachma how to deal with it, but the mice say they need to be checked because it does happen that they get ruined. So, okay, there's certain care that a person should take with his tefillin not to... So if there's a reyes, if a person knows that these things, if it happened, something happened to the tefillin, then they should be checked. But Shlomo Zalman Auerbach actually finds that it could be the opening up the tefillin is actually worse, because when they get opened up, the parshas could be put in upside down. Mistakes could be made. Once they're taken out, they could be made. The batim can get wear and tear from opening them up. You'd have a knife. The sefer has a knife, and he's doing things with the... Yeah, okay, so al-kapanim, there is... al-pidin, it doesn't need to be opened, and if someone's on our box says maybe it's even better to leave it alone. On the other hand, it is scary if a person has tefillin and they are puzzled. They don't want to be wearing puzzled tefillin, without an end. Fine. So now let's talk about the cases of Arayas. Savim nikra chipui abatim, if the bias gets ripped open, vishanashu b'mayim, or if they fell into water, tzrikan b'dikatecha, if they need to be checked immediately. Shema nimcha keksav and his kalkol, maybe the writing got ruined. V'chol shetzarech bedika min adin, anything that needs bedika min adin, means that the halacha requires to be checked, and he doesn't have a way to check it, so the halacha is that he should wear it without a bracha. Vein loy mizhivdoik vizporis, and he doesn't have somebody to check it and sew it up again, menichem b'lay bracha, he should put them on without a bracha, b'lay shayach ukmea chazaka kagabna. Here we don't have a chazaka, l'maisei, if it fell in water, or he did something with them, that he has a chashash, that something's wrong with the tefillin. So mimela, until he gets them checked out, he shouldn't be making a bracha on them. Kazav chay adam, duhu adin imunachin b'makom lach. If they're left in a wet place, I guess a very humid place, or a very wet place, so also that requires to be checked. So the point over here is that it's lafiyinyan. Obviously water is a raya, so when it comes to the spill, anything, if it fell in water, if it's in a very damp place, that could be a problem. Either a very, very, anything extreme temperatures could be a problem. The person leaves it in the back window of his car and the sun is beating down. He thought it would be a minute, and then he was gone for a long time. You have to be careful with them. Now, lefrakim, we said the halacha is that if he only wears the tefillin occasionally, then halachically they do need bedika twice in 7 years. The cheshin and shemin is apshu. It's possible that they got spoiled. That's why they need to be checked twice in 7 years. And if he doesn't have somebody to check them, he should wear them like that. Now the question is about the bracha. So the Ramah seems to be implying that if you should just wear them, that maybe you can make a bracha also. But here the question is that since there is a requirement of checking them twice in 7 years, so maybe we have a chiyuv bedika, so then he's not allowed to make a bracha. Or maybe not. There's no reyes there. Nothing happened to them. It's just that we don't have a chazaka since they're only worn occasionally. So sort of a gray area. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that in bracha mashma mechay adam detzarech levarech. From the chay adam, it sounds like you should make a bracha. So it's different than if it fell in the water. We didn't see any clear thing that happened to them that should indicate there's something wrong. Like we said before, by falling in the water, or the outside the bottom got ruined. But Lamaise is not pashit, because Lamaise has a chiyuv bedika and he's not being bedik, so it's not pashit. Period. I might say tefillin mishlachim b'gniza. A person finds tefillin and gniza and shemus, b'loy ritzuos ufsuchim. There's no ritzuos in them, and the bias is open. So that doesn't look so good. It's in shemus, and it's opened up, and there's no ritzuos. So that's an implication that there's something wrong with it. Yeshlachu sheyesh lahem psul mister. Even if you check it over and you don't find anything wrong, you have to assume that there's a hidden psul, something that you can't see by looking at the tefillin. So therefore, it's possible. Well, in Mitzan Derek Hinuach, interesting halacha. You find tefillin in the Geniza, and just perfect shape in their case with the ritzuas on. Everything doesn't look like anything's wrong with it. You can assume they're kosher. Yeah, Bekisan Leika Lamechach, which means that a cipher who works with tefillin, he has puzzled tefillin. He knows that when he puts them in Geniza, he has to leave them open without the ritzuas, because otherwise a person would assume they're kosher. Because if you find them whole, you're assuming they're kosher.
So you leave them with that space, because there's a feminine.